presence is here. It's peaceful. It's like a descending dove that just kind of swept in very peacefully and gracefully upon us this morning in this place. That's about the best way that I could describe it this morning. Throughout this portion of Scripture, David is underneath constant attack. When he humbled himself with fasting, with sackcloth, he was treated like with his brothers like they didn't even know him, and he was rejected. But his zeal for the house of the Lord began to consume him. And in Psalm 69:32 says, "You who seek God, requiring him as your greatest need, let your heart revive and live." And in Psalm 70, verse 4, it says, "May all those who seek you as life's first priority rejoice and be glad in you. And may those who love you, love your salvation, say continually, let God be magnified." Throughout his time of trial and test and in anguish and when his bones were vexed, he's like, "I'm going to take a moment. I know that I'm underneath a lot of pain, a lot of hurt in my heart, and I'm underneath a lot of ridicule, but I want to let the Lord be magnified in all this, in my life, and nothing's going to stop that. I'm going to be underneath attack at times. I'm going to go through tests and trials, but let the Lord be magnified. I want to go deeper." He wanted something a little bit deeper. It was something on the surface. He knew people were looking at him. He knew people were talking about him. He goes, "Lord, I just want more of you. I want more of you. I want to be consumed by you in the midst of all this. Let's just ask for more of God. Let it be our hearts' cry and our hearts' prayer for the next few moments to let us have more of God in this place, in Jesus' name."
Enough of getting everything we want. We are weary of living this life just for us. Oh, forgive us of seeking your hand and not your face. Come and empty us, Father, we're desperate in this. Given us so much more than we deserve. You deliver us by the power of your word. So God, we lift you up, giving you the honor that is yours. Thank you for your love, Father, this is what we're living. Revelation, a healing visitation, the given us so much more than we deserve. You deliver us by the power of your word. God, we lift you up, giving you the honor that is yours. Thank you for your love, Father, this is what we're living for. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire, give us your desires, hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation, nothing else will do. We want more and more and more and more, and all the love that covers us, all the Savior's mercy, all the love that makes us spotless bride, all the love that covers us, all the Savior's mercy, all the love that makes us spotless bride. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire, give us your desires, hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, healing visitation, nothing else will do. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire, give us your desires, hold us close to you. Holy Spirit, give us revelation, a healing visitation, nothing else will do. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fire, your desires, hold us close to you. We want more and more and more and more of you. We want more and more and more and more of you.
You may be seated.
Yes, the Lord is good forever.
moment, if we could stand at this time. We just need to breathe in what we feel in the house of the Lord right now. There's something so beautiful, so indescribable. The atmosphere that is in this place right now. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, Lord, we want to say thank you for what we feel in your house in this place right now. In Jesus' name, Lord. You're pouring something out indescribable, Lord. We cannot put in words what we feel, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. There's no words to describe your goodness towards us, Lord, in this place. In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for visiting with us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, Lord. Your unmerited favor, Lord, towards us in Jesus' name. We didn't do anything to deserve what we feel, Lord, in this place, Lord. But you poured it out and gave it to us anyways, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a change in the atmosphere. I'm so thankful for what I feel in the house. I'm not going to be apologetic for taking a moment just thanking the Lord for what he is doing. The things that we cannot see, but we can feel it. We know the evidence of it. It is here in this place. We're going to ask the ushers to come at this time. It is still, we're still on for Penny Wars. I did not see the Grimms here, but
I'm here.
You're here.
I'll be Darlene. Okay, not that I really, she sent me a picture of where we were at, and it's not like I really understand it. I'll just tell you that right now, okay? So I'm sure the whole point of the thing is the women are winning. Yeah. I'm sure that's the case. Week one, we raised $181.79. Week two, $178.32. Week three, we outdid ourselves. Folks, 185.28 with a total of 545.39. Wasn't that awesome? We're doing pretty good, aren't we? Okay, go on to the next thing. What's the next thing? I can't. Oh, there you go. You can skip that. Go on to the next one. And you can skip that as well. Because I am sure, men, you don't want hair soup. I'm just letting you know right now. You don't want hair soup. So I'm going to explain the rules one more time. All silver goes in this bucket here. Anything over $2, I think it is, goes in here. Silver goes in this one. This one with a tie. Not in this one. I only want to see dollar bills and $2 and copper in this one. So that's the rules again, just in case you guys forgot what it was. Anyways, what are you doing? Get that off of there.
No.
You can go on to the next one. I already explained the rules.
We don't want dollar bills.
But just remember, we don't want dollars.
We don't want dollar bills.
I don't want dollars. Oh, see,
no,
I was.
No, we don't want dollars.
Wrong. Anyways, copper, silver, okay, there you go.
Oh,
no IOUs. I don't know who would have done that anyways. But remember, Sheaves for Christ goes to a good cause. It goes to help our missionaries so that they can have vehicles and wonderful things like that, and like Tupelo Boys Home or Children's Home. You've seen it several times. Just to tell you, next Sunday is it. It's final next Sunday. You can still bring your money next Sunday, but that's it, okay? So women, step it up, okay? Because I'm letting you know right now, this girl wants to sit with her feet up and be fed, okay? So let's do it. Go, girls. Oh, Brother Mike, feel free to pray over the offering.
Amen.
will bless the Lord.
I will praise His name.
Praise His name.
For the rest of my life.
For the rest of my life.
I'll forever proclaim.
I'll forever proclaim.
He's good. He's good.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name. For who is like our Lord and King? His glory and His name is exalted above the heavens.
I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise His name.
I will praise His name.
I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise His name.
I will praise His name.
For the rest of my life.
For the rest of my life.
Forever proclaim.
I forever proclaim.
He's good.
He's good. I will bless the Lord.
I will praise His name.
I will praise His name.
I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise His name.
I will praise His name.
For the rest of my life.
For the rest of my life.
Forever proclaim.
I will never proclaim.
He's good.
In the name
of Jesus,
of Jesus, Jesus.
There is victory in the name,
victory in the name
of Jesus,
of Jesus, Jesus.
There's salvation in the name,
salvation in the name
of Jesus,
of Jesus, Jesus.
And He's good. He's good. I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise His name.
I will praise.
I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise His name.
I will praise His name.
For the rest of my life.
For the rest of my life.
I will forever proclaim.
I will forever proclaim.
He's good. He's good. There is no
one the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt His name. For who is like our Lord and King? His glory and His name is exalted above the heavens.
I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise His name.
I will praise His name.
I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord.
I will praise.
I will praise His name.
For the rest of my life.
For the rest of my life.
Forever proclaim.
I forever proclaim.
He's good.
He's good.
There is no other name.
No other name.
Like Jesus.
Like Jesus, Jesus.
There is no other name.
No other name.
Like Jesus.
Like Jesus, Jesus.
There is healing in the name.
In the name
of Jesus,
of Jesus, Jesus.
There is victory in the name,
victory in the name
of Jesus,
of Jesus, Jesus.
There's salvation in the name,
salvation in the name
of Jesus,
of Jesus, Jesus.
He's good. He's good. He's good.
By the Lord a little bit. Why don't we lift our hands, lift our voice. Thank you, Jesus. feels so good to be in your house, Lord, to feel your presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Try this. Can you hear me now? I feel like a Verizon commercial. I want to say how proud I was as pastor for the showing we had last Sunday night for a prayer service. If you were here, you know what a time we had in the presence of the Lord. It's always good to see people. I know when we have a regular service, there's expectation, but sometimes when you call a prayer service and people know that, well, the only thing going on is people praying, I know how that is. I don't need to say any more, but I will say this. As I got in the car with my wife, we were pulling away, I told her, I said, wow, I said, I must have been of little faith, because I said, I was surprised we had such a good showing at our prayer service. And so I want to commend you as pastor for taking the time to come and be a part of that together. I realized it was Labor Day weekend, so we kind of changed it up a little bit, and we thank you for those who were able to come and be a part of that service together. Also want to let you know, it's been fun in regards to having the insurance work done around here in the church. They still have yet to complete some things on the roof. The same contractor wanted to get started on the interior of the building. I have a very long fuse, but once it finally burns down, it's not, I'm still a Christian, and I'm still very, very polite, but I, at some point in time, you have to draw the line, and I told him, I said, I apologize, I have to play hardball with you, I said, but I have a church and a board of trustees that I answer to as pastor, and so in order for you to continue doing work upon this church, I have some demands. And these are things that you are going to do. And so I forced him to sign a contract that his company would complete the painting of the interior of the building. We're just getting the ceiling painted. They're not doing the walls. They have some repair to do on the walls. But they are painting the ceiling. And I made them commit that it would all be done this week. However, I did tell them that we would cancel our midweek service to give them the opportunity. They have to move pews and cover everything. And they have to put a special coating. Obviously, you can see the water damage that is over in that corner. Insurance is covering all the cost, so we're not out of pocket anything. But the last thing I wanted to do was have the same thing happen with the interior that we have on the outside. And so I kind of forced his hand and said, listen, either you're gonna abide by these stipulations, or I'm going to find someone else to do the work. And so he agreed, and he signed a contract. And so if they go even one day over, we charge them per day, every day over. And so I didn't want to have to go that route, but he kind of left me no option in the scenario. And so this week, Monday through Saturday, they are going to be in here painting the interior of the building. And so we will not be able to have a midweek service, but we will have service on Sunday. And just wanted to make you aware of that. Please be reminded, we'll post it on the church Facebook page. Let people know that we will not have a midweek service here this coming Wednesday night. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I know that there are needs here in the house. So good to see Brother Bill Kellum back in service with us. He has been battling. We've been praying for him. So good to see him here this morning. If you have a need, why don't you just slip up your hand and say, the Lord knows the need, knows the situation, the circumstances. I'm readily aware that there are needs represented in this place. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer in a very general sense, but if you would like to be prayed for specifically, we're going to, as we go to the Lord in prayer, ask you to come forward, and we will anoint and pray for you as the Bible says. The elders will come forward and anoint with me, and we will pray for you concerning the need. And let's go to the Lord right now, shall we? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your house, to lift you up and magnify your name that is above every name, to give you glory and honor. Lord, I know that there are numerous needs represented here in this place. God, hearts that need to be touched, lives that need to be changed. God, healing, deliverance, God, strength. God, whatever the situation or the circumstance that is represented here in this place, Lord, we know that you are able. You are willing, you're desirous to manifest your power in our midst. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you, to lift you up and magnify your precious name, to give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you, God. We lift you up and magnify your precious name. Elders, would you come forward as we anoint and pray for those that have come forward? In the name of Jesus, congregation, would you put your hand. Hallelujah. As you return to your seats, if you'd be so kind, grab your Bibles and open them to Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13, begin reading in verse number 21, just two verses of scripture to read in your hearing. It reads, "And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Apostle Paul is stating that the Lord himself gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Help the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. After God's own heart. After God's own heart. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for these precious people that have gathered together to lift you up and to magnify you. Give you honor and praise. It is so due your name. Lord, we pray that you would touch our hearts, touch our minds to receive your word, God, that we would see, God, within this story, God, within this man, God, a desire in and of ourselves, Lord, to pursue you, to be after your heart. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, God, for all that you are and all that you do in your name that is above every name. In the saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. After God's own heart. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is preaching in the synagogue at Antioch. Paul is recounting Jewish history, establishing a basis from which to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that had gathered there to worship. It is during this discourse that the Apostle Paul makes a statement regarding the most well-known king in all of Israel's history. For in speaking concerning David, Paul states that God gave testimony that David, the son of Jesse, was a man after God's own heart. The meaning of this statement has often been preached upon and in reference to, and I think it would do us well to once again, revisit the subject of someone being after God's own heart. What is really meant by a statement such as this? What was it about David that he would be regarded as a man after God's own heart? For even a short, cursory study of his life in Scripture would reveal that David was a man with flaws, a man who made some monumental mistakes. A man who was certainly not perfect. This same David that is termed and Paul referenced to as a man of after God's own heart. This same David seems such a character of contrast. This is the same David that raised a prince named Solomon. Widely regarded as the second most renowned king in all of Israel's histories. David raised Prince Solomon, and Solomon, after David's death, reigned upon David's throne. And while David raised a great one in the name or in the man Solomon, David also raised a prince named Absalom. A man who was rebellious, who was a traitor, who was seditious, a man who sought to steal the kingdom from his own father. Such a contrast to raise one that would reign as the next king of Israel and would build the temple under the Lord and raise another Absalom whose body was discarded in the woods and heaped over with stones. It seems such a contrast. This same David that fought lions and bears and slayed a giant by the name of Goliath, this same David lost the battle of lust as he looked upon the beautiful Bathsheba. The same David that cared so much for the lambs of his earthly father. This same David casually sent a sheep of his heavenly father by the name of Uriah to a certain death.
The same David that in humility blessed the people upon bringing the ark into the city of Jerusalem is the same David that arrogantly numbered the people and cursed them with a plague wherein 70,000 died. This same David. These contrasts are discussed only to provide proof that David did not have a perfect heart. His heart was not perfect. It was not his heart that was patterned after God. David was just as sinful and short of the glory of God as any and all of us. However, David, despite his failures and setbacks, David never stopped seeking the heart of God. Even when David did wrong, he sought to make it right. Even when David messed up and he made mistakes, even when David did wrong, he owned it and he promptly came before God in repentance. David was a man after, or David was a man in pursuit of God's own heart. He wanted to do what was pleasing unto the Lord. Sometimes he failed, and sometimes he messed up, and sometimes he fell short. But in his heart, David said, "Thou desireth truth in the inward parts, and I seek the heart of God. I want to be the best that I can be. I realize I'm human. I realize that my sin is ever before me. I realize that I have made some monumental mistakes. I realize that I am sinful. But I take ownership of my actions. I sin before thee. My transgressions. I don't blame it on someone else. I don't seek to give the responsibility to another. I did it. I made the mistakes. My heart was wrong. I did wrong, but I always want to do right. I seek the heart of God." You see, this is what I've come to know about this man named David. Is that repentance is the path of pursuit after God's own heart. Repentance is the path of pursuit in wanting to be pleasing unto God, because we need to understand it is not if I fall, but rather when I fall. It's going to happen. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to have shortcomings. But we need to be reminded and we need to forever understand, even though the enemy would seek to convince us otherwise, that just because I have shortcomings does not mean that I am not still coming along. I'm going to say that again. Just because I have shortcomings does not mean that I am not still coming along. It doesn't mean that I've abandoned the process. It doesn't mean that I've given up hope. Just because I detour and just because I make a mistake doesn't mean I don't get back up and set my feet upon the path of repentance and say, "Lord, I want to be after your heart. I want to do what you would have me to do." I realize I say it all the time, but it bears repeating. I may not be where I want to be, but I'm not going back to where I was. And I refuse to even stay where I am. I am going after the heart of God. I want to do what he wants. I want to fulfill all of his will. I want to know his heartbeat. We need to be reminded, just because we mess up or we fail doesn't mean that we are now fighting for the other side. Just because I make a mistake, just because my humanity, listen, I'm not preaching that we should make provision for the flesh. The Bible prohibits that. What I'm saying is that we are carnal. We are sold under sin. We do have our own carnality. We do have this flesh. And we need to recognize, I realize that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And I will mess up. And I will make a mistake. And I guarantee you, as the Lord tarries, you will find yourself falling short. You will find yourself not making the mark. But in those times, I would that you would understand and not listen to the enemy. That doesn't mean that I'm now fighting for you. That doesn't mean that I'm now on your side. It just means that I've slipped up. It just means my feet slipped. But I've come to tell you, devil, I'm not for you. I am against you. Just because I may make a mistake and just because I may mess up, don't you think for one moment that I've somehow conceded the fight, that I've somehow come over to the other side. You need to understand, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And just because my flesh made its presence known, and just because my members messed up, doesn't mean that in my heart I still long to do what God would have me to do. How many people have been messed up? People have failed completely because they let one failure or they let one circumstance or they let one situation completely convince them that they were lost or that there's no worth trying anymore. I would to God that they would understand, just because I mess up, I don't look at my children when they make mistakes and say, I'm no longer your father and you're no longer my child. May there be reprimand, yes. May there be punishment, yes, but they need to know I still love them and they're still my children and I'd still give my life for them. David was a man after God's own heart. And David realized that his own heart could become corrupted and his spirit could be wrong. But instead of conceding and continuing therein, he would look to God and say, Psalms 51:10, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Lord, I realize my heart can become corrupted and my spirit can become wrong. So in repentance, in my pursuit after your heart, in my pursuit after your will, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. Cast not thy presence from me. Lord, you need to understand that I can't go on if you're not with me. You need to understand, Lord, I got to get back on the path in pursuit of your perfect heart. See, it is simply my imperfections that should have me seeking the heart of perfection. It is my weaknesses that should have me seeking the strength of God. Repentance is not just about acknowledging my own sin. It is about seeking the heart of Him who knew no sin. You see, it's not just about how bad I am. It is about how good God is. It is about knowing that the goodness of God, it is that which leads men to repentance. And we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our righteousness is as but filthy rags, but He is perfect. And repentance is just as much about me recognizing my own wrong as it is about recognizing that He and everything about Him is right. And so I pursue your heart. We sing a song, and I know I've referenced it numerous times, but it's such a line that bears repeating, and it's one that I sing in prayer and meditation. It's one that I meditate upon, and I think, because the line says, break my heart from what breaks yours. Everything I am for the kingdom's cause. Lord, I want to know what breaks your heart. Break my heart from what breaks yours. I want to be after your heart. I want to pursue your will and your way so much so that if it's disturbing to you, it's disturbing to me. Lord, if it's something that you would eschew, Lord, let me eschew it. Lord, if it's anything that has even a shadow of darkness, Lord, Lord, in you there is no shadow of darkness. There's no variableness. And Lord, I'm after your heart. And so, Lord, if there's anything that has even a shadow, Lord. Let me stay away from it because I want to be after your own heart. See, there is an old saying. It simply says, when you get to know someone, you find out what makes them tick. It's referencing you. You know their heart. I would hope that an interaction with me, people, without very many questions would be able to look at me and after interacting with me be able to say, I know what makes him tick. I know what his heart is about. I know what he believes in. I know that he loves people. I know that he loves family. I know that he loves God. I would that people would know what makes me tick, that they're around me. It begs the question, if individuals spend some time with me, would they get to know what makes me tick? Talk about, would I be excited about? Oh, I realize there are other things in life and there are other pursuits, and I get that. I understand we're not always, we should be, but we're not always all the time seeking everything. We should be seeking. We're not. We have other pursuits. We have other things that we find out seem to be frivolous and really so unimportant in the grand scheme of things. But yet we pursue them. We long for them. We desire those things. But if there's anything, it's worth pursuing. If there's anything that's worthy of my time and my effort, if there's anything that should take preeminence and that should supersede everything else in my life, it should be a pursuit for the heart of God. Lord, I want to know what makes you tick. The disciple often refers to himself in his writing as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's this disciple that had what we commonly call the Last Supper. It is this disciple who is, the Bible tells us, is laying upon the bosom or upon the chest of Jesus. And when Jesus says that there's one here that's going to betray me, some say, is it I? Lord, am I the one that's going to betray you? Am I the one that's going to turn you over? Am I the one? But the disciple who referred to himself as the one whom Jesus loved, the disciple John, he looked up into the eyes of Jesus. He was so close. He had such a love for Jesus that he didn't say, is it I? He said, who is it, Lord? I know what makes you tick, God. I hear your heartbeat. Who is it, Lord? I want to be so close to you that I know what makes you tick, that I... What would it be like? I excuse the transparency, but what would it be like if here in service we would actually hear the heartbeat of God? When someone walks in and we have a visitor, what it would be like if we would actually hear the heartbeat of God? I wonder what it would be like if we would hear, as the Lord says, reach out to them. The Lord says, their soul, that's someone I died for. That's someone I gave my life's blood for. Don't let them leave without showing them love. Don't let them come and sit in my presence but not truly interact with me because my people don't hear my heartbeat. What would it be like if we were truly men and women after God's own heart? See, this is how we know the Apostle Paul, when speaking in reference to David, was speaking in reference to David's pursuit of God and his will. For after, the Apostle Paul says that David, the son of Jesse, was a man after God's own heart. He said, which shall fulfill all. See, I I know you've heard it said, and I've said it, and we're not incorrect for saying it, but we need to understand the implications of such. We say, I want to do God's will. I think that's a fair. How many want to do God's will? I want to do God's will. I believe you want to do God's will, but we need to understand something. I cannot truly do His will without knowing His heart. Apostle Paul said he found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. Because he pursued me, because he was after me, he will perform, he will fulfill all my will. I don't know, maybe you're there, but I'm not. I don't know all that God has for me. I don't know everything that is God's will for me and my life and my family. I'm seeking, I'm wanting to know. But this I've come to understand in my walk in relationship with God, that the more I seek after Him, the more that I desire His heart, the more His will becomes manifest. The more I recognize, yeah, that's what He wants me to do. That's His heartbeat that I hear in that situation. I can understand how to choose in this situation. I can understand how to make the right decision here at this point. And the reason is because I can hear the heartbeat. I am a man after God's own heart. That doesn't mean I won't mess up. It doesn't mean I won't fail. It doesn't mean I won't have shortcomings. But what it simply means is that I will get up and I will get back on the path, and repentance will have me placed in one foot in front of the other, saying, I am pursuing the heart of God. I said it earlier, it bears repeating. There are a lot of things I could pursue, but there is absolutely nothing more worthy of pursuit than the heart of God. Knowing His will. See, that's part of the prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I want to hear Your heartbeat from heaven. I want to have a connection with You, Lord. I want to have that type of relationship with You where I can truly say I am after the heart of God. See, well, we have so many other things in life. We have things we need to pursue, and careers and prosperity and all these things that the world says we should seek after, and all these things. We have to provide, we have to have things. I realize that. But might I remind you of the words of Jesus when He said, therefore, take no thought, saying, Matthew 6:31, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And here it is, a verse that is often repeated. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. I have not apprehended, haven't attained, but I'm after it. Give me somebody who is after the heart of God, that we can get past the mess ups, and we can get beyond the mistakes. We can learn the lessons that need to be learned. Give me someone who's after the heart of God. So many that may be following the things of God and seeking to do what is right based upon others or family, or based upon a fear of hell. Can I truly say that I am doing what I'm doing simply because I am after the heart of God? Because I truly want to know what makes him tick. I truly want to know. I realize there are a lot of unanswered questions. I realize there are some things that will only come as time tarries. I realize that. But you need to understand that does not in any way, shape, or form keep me from continuing in the pursuit. Lord, I don't do what I do because my family is a part. I don't do what I do simply because it's just the way. It's just a tradition. What I do out of ritual. I do what I do because I'm pursuing your heart. I want to know you. I want to emulate you, God. I want to be more like you. To have your heart. I realize mine is often corrupted and my spirit is wrong, and so I David come before you and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me. Lord, help me break my heart from what breaks yours. Let my feet always be on the path of repentance. Apostle Paul said, I die daily. That I may know him, the power and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Jesus made his way from the wilderness to being tempted to the devil for 40 days. He went into the synagogue and there was given unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Jesus read the words, and in the words that he read, he made this statement. He said, I've come to heal. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the brokenhearted. I realized this in prayer the other day. I begin to pray about the heart of God. The scripture came racing back into my mind that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal the brokenhearted. A lot of times we think of that in reference to him coming to heal our broken heart, to mend what is wrong with us. And yes, that is true, but you need to understand there's another part of that. You see, he came to heal your heart and my heart so that we can properly love. As long as my heart is broken, I can't love as he would have me to love. I'm not, they would say, I'm not running on a hill and not doing everything I can be doing. And so, Lord, heal my broken heart. Not just for me, not just so I can find healing and help and be mended for myself, but Lord, heal my broken heart so that I can love like you love. Huh. Oh, Jesus, we're here. Lord, let the story of this man who made his share of mistakes, but who was given a testimony, as the Apostle Paul preached, the man after your own heart. Lord, let that be my desire, God, let that be a longing for myself, God, that I would be a man after your own heart, Lord. Heal my broken heart so that I could love like you love, so that I could you do. Over this house, whether you feel to come and worship, whether you feel to come and kneel at the altars are open, or whether you feel to do so where you are, I would that we would all lift a prayer up unto the Lord. Lord, heal my heart so that it becomes after you, God, so that it is in pursuit of yours, Lord.
Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place.
As the heart panted after the water brook, so does my heart after thee,
O Lord. With you.
I'm pursuing you.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how.
Lord, let repentance in my life be the path
with
in pursuit of your heart.
I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. You're my King. I yield my heart to you. Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you. I yield my heart to you. I yield my
you yourself are pursuing the heart of
my heart to you.
Mom, you're not going to be able to teach your children how to have a heart after God unless you yourself are pursuing the heart of God.
You're my King.
We lead by example.
I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. I yield my heart to you. You're my King. One with you, this place. Teach us how to be one with you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heart after the heart of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Before we dismissed from the service, we have something very special that we want to do. 2 weeks ago on a Sunday night, with many of our family here to witness, we had the pleasure of taking little Sadie Marie Wallace down in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And so now we want her to come up here, and we want to present her with her certificate of baptism. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. One more time, why don't we lift our hands to the Lord? Thank you for your word, God. Yes. Thank you for our time together, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. Let our heart, God, be in pursuit of yours. Thank you. Opportunity to be here to worship you, to lift you up and magnify you. God bless the remainder of this day, God. Those willing and able, God, that we would meet back here at 6 p.m. for prayer. Corporate worship at 6:30. We love you and praise you and thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. For all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. You may go in the precious name of Jesus. Sometimes these contact points get Testing. Ooh. Testing.